It's time for Lunch Hour Reviews.
He was licking me.
What?
He was licking me!
Lunch Hour Reviews.
Man, I hate until he burns.
I'm painting me.
It's feeding time. I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren, and we are the Rants Macabre, a part of the Fangoria Podcast Network. For more information about the network, including other programs, how to follow the show, and find past episodes of the Rants Macabre, please visit fangoria.com. Coming to you with a new episode of our Lunch Hour Reviews segment.
That was really exciting.
I'm excited to talk about it.
Are you?
To talk about it.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Absolutely. What we're sort of dancing around the bush? What's the expression?
You beat around the bush.
Beat around the bush.
You could dance too, I suppose. The fuck?
This movie had dancing. We're talking about The Greasy Strangler.
Yes.
Okay, so a quick synopsis for those unfamiliar. Father and son duo Ronnie and Brayden run a disco walking tour where they both meet Janet and begin competing for her affections. So that is a bare bones framework.
No, but that's about all there is to it.
Yeah.
It's pretty fair.
Yeah. I mean, well, this doesn't incorporate the Greasy Strangler.
Whatever. I can't. If I'm in a bad mood, it's because I just had dental surgery again this morning.
Yeah.
Took some Vicodin.
Vicodin. Are you tripping balls?
Not yet. I was hoping.
Not feeling anything yet?
Literally, it's just like making my day go slower, I think, honestly.
Okay, so Greasy Strangler, tough to describe. I'm going to give it a couple different tries.
Okay.
Here's one descriptor.
Go.
It's like someone took the first act of a John Waters script and handed it off to the director of Basket Case and Frankenhooker, Frank Henenlotter, to make. How's that? Does that sound appealing to you yet?
No, because it's nothing like John Waters, because it's really deep down of John Waters. No, because always deep down in John Waters has something to say.
Yes. Well, I mean, early in the career, a lot of it was what he was saying was very specifically to infuriate, to get people to agitate.
But it's like, it's either it's a race-based, a socioeconomic-based. John Waters has a point.
The class at play. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How about this description?
Okay.
Imagine if David Lynch's Eraserhead went to a taping of Pee-wee's Playhouse, if the theme of that Playhouse episode was body acceptance. And in a last action hero, golden ticket kind of twist, Eraserhead merges with Pee-wee's Playhouse and the world's fold in on each other and collide.
No, I'm not going to agree with that one either.
No?
Firstly, I love Pee-wee's Playhouse. I grew up watching that and I really love it. So you're not going to shit on that parade today.
Oh, that wasn't the idea. All right, I got one last one. Imagine, if you will, if Tim and Eric made a secret softcore porn murder movie, which is to say the actors are purposefully bad as it is the style. So in that style, I don't know. I think the listener should watch the trailer and sort of judge if it's their
That's a true statement.
Tim and Eric?
The Tim and Eric thing is a true statement, because occasionally, like, I'll watch a Tim and Eric thing and I'll be like, that's really, really funny. But on the whole, I just go, I don't like it because it makes me feel old. And I go like this, what the fuck are kids watching? Do kids like this?
And I don't think it's kids watching Tim and Eric, nor is this,
like,
for children.
Yeah, no, I suppose this isn't for children. I don't know. To me, like, I love absurdist humor and I love dumb things. I have seen all the Harold and Kumar, at the movie theater. I've seen Pineapple Express at the movie theater. I mean, these are the things that I like, but I can't get behind Sim and Eric. I can't, guys.
Okay, so to talk about the plot a little deeper, Big Ronnie, played by Michael St. Michaels, which sounds like an alias. It sounds like Michael St. Michaels is on the run.
Exactly.
And that's the, like, quickest name he could think of. Michael
St. Michaels.
St. Michaels. but yes, watch some interviews with the guy. He's a curious fellow, and I'll have a segment from the Q&A after the premiere. Where was I? So Big Ronnie is a grease-obsessed pervert who can't leave disco behind. His son Brayden, played by Sky Elobar, still lives with him and takes care of him. He's an aspiring young adult sci-fi author who's never really let himself live a life. So when he meets Janet, played by Elizabeth DiRazzo from Eastbound and Down, and she actually likes him, it's a life-changing relationship until pervy, greasy dad gets new ideas.
I'm sorry. My dad can get cranky sometimes.
As your father, I forbid you to marry.
He sure has a temper on him.
He likes to shout. I like to smile.
You cheesy old cornball.
Imagine me stroking your clitoris with a pink feather. Yeah, that's what I am. I'm a cheesy old cornball.
I kind of like it.
Hey! Stop talking to the customer and help Dad with his shorts!
Imagine if I farted now.
I love you. Like this? I don't know if I'm doing it right, Janet. Is this right?
Kiss my juicy cherry lips.
My dad might be the greasy strangler.
I'm officially dating Janet.
I'm the Spider-Man of cocktail.
Bullshit artist.
Bullshit artist.
I call bullshit on that.
Bullshit artist.
You're covered in horse shit.
You can be my forever love.
You claimed her pussy, but you never claimed her heart. Janet loves me. I love her.
You're making a big mistake.
Jody needs to go now. I am the Greasy Strangler.
You're all right, Braden.
Thanks, Dad. That means a lot coming from you.
It looks good. It sounds good.
It looks
good. I
like the
soundtrack.
See, I didn't even like that. I couldn't even deal with it. At first, I was like, oh, the soundtrack is awesome, right? Until they use the same fucking motif, leitmotif, like all throughout the movie. And I felt like I was going insane last night.
I wonder if that's a little bit of the aim for the filmmaker.
Probably.
So it was directed and co-written by Jim Hosking, who's an English writer-director. He did G is for Granddad and
right.
The ABCs of Death 2.
Right.
And in all fairness, I went back to watch that and I had a really hard time getting through the short segment.
Not one of the good ones.
It's hard to describe the humor. I will say the Greasy Strangler is funnier and better than the G is for Granddad segment. But it's still pretty challenging and extraordinarily specific.
Yes.
Okay, but we were saying, so the music, I dug it. It's kind of an offbeat, chiptune kind of sound.
Yeah, because at first I did like it. I thought it was really cool, and then it just kept happening.
Yeah, I think there's probably only a couple songs specific.
I would say there's
rather than scoring
two.
An hour and a half movie. Yeah, well,
right.
there was like the disco scene and... There were some variations of
like,
things. Did I say Andrew Hung did the music? He should get some credit. Where was I? So there are a couple producers behind it, including Spectrovision, Elijah Wood's company.
Mm-hmm.
And they also got money from the UK lottery program, which I was... Yeah, we've talked about it in the past.
Yeah.
The sort of novel insanity that English lottery earnings... I mean, they go to all sorts of public programs, but
to
one
the
of
arts
them is
as well.
it's a film council. But yeah, no. So Elijah Wood's been a champion of this movie. I think even from the script stage,
Aunt Timpson, who's a friend, sent me the script, and he said you're going to love this. And I read it, and I fell in love with it, and I was already quoting the script to him via text message.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre, and I don't want to seem like okay, this is like because I totally get absurdist humor. Nonsense. I get it. I get nonsense literature.
Mindy might be the world's, I'm going to say, second biggest Ice Cream Man fan.
I love Ice Cream Man. That's not, it is kind of, it is. Yeah, I guess it is absurdist. But I mean, like, I get it. I get nonsense literature and I get it. But I just, I was watching it last night and I go, who is this for? Because this isn't for me.
That's a good question.
Who is this for?
So, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit. I enjoyed the experience of it. I'm going to have a very hard time. I mean, the descriptions that I gave early on, I think, are for the purposes of, like, let's narrow this down to exactly who would like it. And that said, I think even in the horror community, it's a very select few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I can't. I mean, I'm really trying here, but I just can't. You know, when someone sends us a movie, I try to be like, yeah, but, and we've gotten so lucky
yeah, we
so
have.
Many times that
This was still fun.
Yeah. See, I might have made them. You watched the premiere with other people.
With a big group.
I made the mistake of just like me, and I sat my husband down and I said, we're going to watch this movie.
You two just looking at each other like, what's happening?
Exactly. And at first I was like, oh, my name across the screen is really irritating me because that's how the screener is. It has my name on it.
Oh, like watermarked. Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, well, that's kind of annoying. And then I was like, sometimes that's all I wanted to look at was my name.
After a while, you're like, I don't want to be associated with this.
Like, please get my name off of this.
So if I did have a criticism, it is that the movie doesn't really grow. It kind of becomes something towards the epilogue, but there's not much in terms of arc. The jokes don't really evolve. They're kind of the same jokes being made late in the story as they are early in the story.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that.
There's a good bit of physical comedy that I laughed really hard at.
Right, which I didn't get because like I laughed at one part really, really loud that I thought was like probably one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time in the movie, but it wasn't the thing that you laughed at all.
So there's something for everybody,
so to speak. There is. Because everyone knows like how much I and so some of the talking about like poop, because I think poop is funny. So, like, some of that was funny.
So it's not as if you're coming from a highbrow. Like, no, this doesn't meet my standards.
Like, I totally, like, it's just
there's
not
a poop story it's pretty well illustrated.
It's the funniest thing that I've heard in a really long time. And then the way that it's told is so specific. It's like you can see the whole thing. You described it so great. Yeah.
I think we just shy of seeing a version of it. Like, yes. You know, we don't have to use that much of our imagination to arrive at the visuals for the story. So it's pretty good. On that note, there is a lot of nudity. And
yes, there is.
I guess they talked about it at the Q&A.
And I went in and read. And despite their better judgment, they went with it. I know my favorite part of the whole thing was Jim coming up to me and saying, will you do nudity? And I said, well, it doesn't bother me. I really don't have to look at me. And I thought that was true until I saw the movie the first time. Yeah, but anyway.
So Elizabeth has already alluded to some of her reservations about taking on this project. Scott and Michael, when this project first fell into your lap and you were like reading it and actually considering it, did you dive in wholeheartedly or did you have some second thoughts or what was your reaction, your train of thought?
Well, I actually never really read it before.
So this movie is a little bit of a surprise.
PDF file, which I couldn't download.
So you're actually saying that you showed up on the set for The Greasy Strangler not knowing at all what you had gotten yourself into?
There is a lot of nudity. There's a lot of prosthesis and Merkin shenanigans going on, and it's revolting.
Yeah, this has a lot of junk coverage. There's more Merkins in this movie than I don't know if I've seen a Merkin before this.
Eh. Yeah, I don't not like that. But yeah, no, it's some of it's like the Michael St. Michael prosthesis stuff is really fucked up.
Okay, so a note about the wardrobe, which is consistently bizarre with the rest of the movie. But
can we talk about the disco outfit? Can we talk about it?
Yeah, by all means.
So he goes to the disco because Big Ronnie is really into disco.
Yeah.
So he goes out dancing in his disco finest, which is some sort of Lycra purple suit with a... The crotch is out, but it's got like
a metallic mesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, sheer.
It is completely sheer at the crotch area. It's so uncomfortable. And then he does this. I did laugh at the dancing too. I could. That part actually was terribly disgustingly funny.
They talked about that in the Q&A. And Janet, played by Elizabeth DeRozzo, talked about like having a couple dance moves in mind and then. Michael St. Michael's tried to do what she was doing, but his version is very different.
Yes.
It's a lot of thrusting.
Yeah, which really
which,
accentuates
when you're crotch
the,
naked,
the
yeah,
mesh.
When you're crotch yeah. naked is intimidating.
I mean, it's not this, no, it's a horrible thing. I think, like, honestly, I started laughing because I felt like I had, what is that when they kidnap you? And then you
Stockholm
like
syndrome.
Yeah, I think that's what I had.
You were beaten down by that point.
It's
you're like
sometimes,
you're right. I do love Big Brother.
Yeah, and like sometimes that would happen. Like I would stay up sometimes and watch Saturday Night Live, and Jackson would come home and he would be like, "Are you laughing at this?" And I'd be like, "Yes," and I don't know why. And that's how I felt a little bit in this movie.
Now you probably think I'm the Greasy Strangler.
I never said that.
Tell you a secret. I am the Greasy Strangler.
Visually, this is a very interesting film.
The
characters, the character design, just looking at them, not the way they act, because it's also very, it's very, very two-dimensional the way they act and the way they are, but just looking at them, there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And then that's, I guess, I don't know, like, I just can't put
Michael
both of
Saint
it together.
Michael's, in the first few images I saw of this, when, you know, initially Googling it, I thought his face was a mask. I thought I was looking yeah. at a man wearing a mask, but no, he is a peculiar fella. It's all his yeah. real hair.
And he's 72 years old, something like that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, so that's going to be our short review of The Greasy Strangler. It'll be in cinemas Friday when this comes out, October 7th. And available to own from October 10th on.
Mm-hmm.
If what we've described in one way or another sounds appealing to you, then chase it down.
Yeah.
And I would say definitely this is, you might lose some friends maybe, but this is a group watch. Like try and get
yes,
some friends together.
Definitely. Because you know what?
They're quotable lines.
That's the thing is like Jackson and I went to bed and then we were still quoting stuff from the movie. And then we were like, oh, I like hate myself for quoting this, but it was funny. And so then we're like, oh, maybe that's the point of this kind of movie is that you watch it again and again and quote yeah. it.
In an interview, Jim Hosking talked about like the very early seed of this movie was just like a bullshitting conversation where someone used as a turn of phrase Greasy Strangler, and they're just like that's got some music to it, that phrase.
Well, we have a phrase in my group of friends. We had an ex-friend, but we were friends with him, and he was really filthy dirty. He was like Pigpen, and he had like a certain thing that he liked to do. He'd bring girls home and he was like really into spanking. And so we always, and we still talk about
filthy
it.
Hand.
We call it a greasy spanking. And so like during this movie, The Greasy Strangler, we were like, oh, greasy spanking.
I like that that's his like special move. It's like down, forward, AB, like yeah. greasy spanking.
Greasy spanking. And like, yeah. So, I mean, it's still a thing we talk about because we're still friends with his old roommate who has heard greasy spankings.
If the description appeals to you, by all means, you should track it down and get greasy. As for us, you can find us on social media. We are at Rant Macabre on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're on Patreon. You can join the party where we've got lots of additional content. It's building up now. It's kind of yeah. nice that we've got this like alternative library
yeah.
of stuff.
Because at first I thought it was going to be a burden to do extra stuff, but it's like slowly getting in there. And yeah. it's kind of a lot of stuff to give to people.
Yeah. What else? Our email is therantsmacabre@gmail.com. Our website is therantsmacabre.com. Drop us a line. If you do catch this movie, let us know what you think. This is a conversation-worthy movie.
Yes. You've been listening to The Rants Macabre, a presentation of the Fangoria Podcast Network, produced by Darren Rosario and Thomas DeFeo, and executive produced by Ken Hanley of Fangoria Entertainment. For press opportunities, advertising inquiries, and information about The Rants Macabre, contact Ken at fangoria.com.
This is me, Darren, signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks.